The gospel for today is taken from Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." This is the gospel of the Lord. I was watching a little girl who was trying to engage some other children in play. And she asked several kids, "You want to play a game?" And finally she got a little group of children together. "Okay," she said, "we're going to play a game. But you got to follow all the rules." And then she proceeded to list many, 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 many rules. The youngest of the kids that had gathered actually trotted off in the middle of her little lecture. When she noticed that he was gone, she stopped and she said to the rest of the kids, "Okay, who's in and who's out? Because if you're in, you gotta listen to all the rules." As she kept talking, one little boy kind of shook his head and with this look like, "Is she for real?" And then another little boy simply suggested, "Can't we just play together?" Well, we know that rules are important. Rules give structure, order, organization. They set up expectations. They make choices easier. They're supposed to level the playing field and make things fair among all people. They give us guidance. Societies make rules and laws to give that structure and order, to protect people, to guide our behavior as we live together, to help us make good choices and to help prevent us from making poor choices. It's no different for God's people either. I mean, right from the beginning, we're told when God created Adam and Eve, they were given things that they should do and things that they shouldn't do. Parameters were set for them. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament. And it's interesting because there are 1,050 commandments in the New Testament. These laws and these commandments guide our behavior and give us structure as we live together as the church. Then there's always the question of what do you do when someone doesn't follow the rules or follow the law or behaves in such a way that's outside of these parameters, such a way that might create conflict, especially in the church. Whether that's a breaking or bending of the rules, or if it's a breaking or a breach of trust. Jesus addresses this question in the gospel lesson for today. The fact that he's talking about what you should do if someone in the church sins against you tells me that church conflict has always been around. It's nothing new. Now, this doesn't make it excusable. Just because the disciples couldn't even give it right, and they had Jesus standing right with them. Jesus is always calling us to more. He's calling us to reconciliation. He's calling us to continued relationship with one another, to keep reaching out to each other with mercy and grace. And he teaches us how. He says, if someone has sinned against you, if someone has hurt you, don't sweep it under the rug. and ignore it. Don't go tell two people and secretly hope that eventually comes back to the person that hurt you. He says, go directly to that person, alone, and talk with them. Talk with them with an open and a humble heart. And if reconciliation takes place, that's awesome. Praise be to God. And if it doesn't, take a few other caring individuals with you. Because perhaps together we can work for healing in our relationships with one another. Why? Because Jesus knows that the church is the body of Christ. We need all the different members of this body working together for healing and hope. Because conflict in a community, especially within the body of Christ, really does impact all its members. Jesus promises that where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is present. And if after reaching out with love and mercy, someone still refuses to be part of reconciliation, then he says we are to treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector. Gentiles and tax collectors. We hear a lot about them. Everyone knew in Jesus' time that Gentiles and tax collectors were outside of the bounds of God's mercy. The Gentiles because of their religious beliefs, the tax collectors because of their questionable business practices. Churches often hear these words, Jesus, and use them as a reason to shun or excommunicate people from the church, to loose them from being bound in community, essentially to read them their rights and let them go. But I want to ask you, how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? How did he treat Gentiles and tax collectors? He loved them. He ate with them. He partied with them. He spent a lot of time with these Gentiles and tax collectors. They were very much a part of his community. He was merciful to them, gracious, forgiving. He enjoyed their company. As a matter of fact, he angered the religious establishment because he spent so much time with them. Because they knew that Gentiles and tax collectors were lowly outsiders, and Jesus welcomed them in to God's family. When we enter into Christian community, we become part of this family of God, and we bind ourselves to one another. We are a diverse group of people, of different ages, races, genders, political persuasions, and more. We are a very different group of people. Well, we are a very different group of people, but we're a group of very different people too, who come together to be the body of Christ in the world today. God promises healing and hope as we work together to be his body in the world. Now, he entered into our messy human existence to always point the way to reconciliation and hope, to help us to live out our calling, to be his hands reaching out with love and mercy to all of God's children. Jesus gives us a very practical teaching today. So what do we take from this? Well, what I take from this is that we are to keep reaching out, to keep our arms open, to not spend so much time with our arms crossed like this, but to spend more time with our arms open to one another. Always reaching out for reconciliation. Always reaching out for Christ. Reaching out in love. No, this is not always easy, and sometimes it's really downright hard. But Christ's promise is that he is with us. He is present with us, and he will show us how. So if there's someone that you have a strained relationship with, reach out to them. If you don't see someone here that you miss, reach out to them. If there's someone who's not here who you think might like to be a part of a church like this, reach out to them and invite them. Because Christ always calls us to reach out in love. Jesus summarized all those 1,662 other commandments into one. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Because he knows that love fulfills the law. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Because when we love God, we love one another. Doesn't mean that as we live together, we won't have conflict. But what it does mean is that wherever there's division, that Jesus crosses the boundaries to bring healing and wholeness. Through his death and resurrection, he removed all the barriers that keep us from God and from each other. What makes us the body of Christ is not whether or not we fight, disagree, or hurt one another. But what makes us the body of Christ is how we go about resolving conflict. How we go about as different people who live out a common mission to be the heart and hands of Christ in our world today. This is who we are. This is who God created us to be. Amen.